Change the subject then, and don't really want to.
So we're on page 69 to 70. And that is in chapter 16. And we're about halfway through chapter 16. And the point about chapter 16 of Tanya is that it's discussing what happens. Now we're on the next page, right? You see, the point about chapter 16 is discussing what happens if a person doesn't feel inspired the way they would expect to be. Here, this is where it is. The word b'chafetza. That's page 70. Page 69, 70. One second. B'chafetza at the end of the line. There. B'chafetza. So we'll probably go back a few words. But the point is, what happens if a person thinks about Hashem? They want to daven, let's say. They want to daven with feeling. And they learn a chapter Tanya before davening. Now that's a wonderful idea, how to approach davening. You learn a chapter Tanya before davening, or half a chapter. You learn something. And it tells her all wonderful things about the infinite greatness of Hashem, and the way in which every particle of existence is kept in life by Hashem's life force. And the person knows that it could well be that if you were learning this, you'd actually feel inspired and you would want to pray to Hashem. But she doesn't feel inspired. She learns it, or he learns it, but doesn't feel inspired. Why not? You know, there are all kinds of different reasons why sometimes a person just doesn't respond. Now, what should they do in this situation? Can anyone make a suggestion?
What was that question?
What should the person do? The person is trying to daven with enthusiasm and inspiration. They're trying to pray to Hashem with enthusiasm and inspiration.
Well, if Tanya doesn't give you that inspiration and enthusiasm, something else will, perhaps.
It has to be something inside.
There are things that will. Just thinking about Hashem's creation.
It's got to be
just
something.
Just thinking about the creation.
That's wonderful, but what happens if today the person is thinking about Hashem's creation and it hasn't turned them on?
Don't leave it.
Now, what
there
does
must
that mean?
Be something
so
that turns them on.
So what do you do today?
Do we wait until another day?
It's
got to be a matter of your thought, feeling.
There must be something that turns people on. There must be.
Feelings.
And if there isn't, then you ask Hashem to give you the inspiration. But you can't if you have...
Bracha.
Which bracha?
I don't know, but for me, there's always something.
Because if there is one, I'd like to know it, please.
Okay.
Put it down to your thoughts and your innermost feelings. There's got to be something to do with that.
I mean, when I was a midwife,
I
became so religious. It
I know, you do a mitzvah.
Because you couldn't help it.
You do a good deed.
Maybe that's
what Michelle's saying is a very good idea. I mean, in fact, that's one of the reasons why people try to give a few pennies in stocker before davening, so as to help along the whole process of davening, that it should be a davening with feeling. So that is a very good idea. Each one of you are saying very interesting things. But I'll tell you what it says in this chapter of Tanya. In different places in Tanya and in Hasidic teachings in general, you can find support for everything that you're saying, each one of you is saying. But what it says over here is that you imagine to yourself, you think to yourself the following little thought. I've learnt a few paragraphs of Tanya and it unfortunately hasn't inspired me. But it should have done. What would I do if it had inspired me? I would be really concentrating on my davening. I would be saying every word with excitement and with meaning and with feeling. So you know what? I'm going to do that just as if I have been electrified by these few paragraphs that I've studied. Do you understand? You say, as if. And you have this idea in your mind, as if I was happy, as if I was joyful, as if. And you work on yourself in order to be in that, to behave as if you were in that kind of mood. And the interesting thing is that sometimes if you do a thing that relates to a mood, you don't feel in that mood. But you do the thing that relates to that mood, it sometimes puts you in that mood. And a classic example of this is dancing. In a Hasidic wedding, so the men are one side of the mechitza, the women are the other side of the mechitza. And there are women there who are dancing, the band is playing, the chatan and the kala, the chatan is one side, the groom is one side, the kala is the other side, the bride, and the band is playing, and there are many women who are dancing. And one of them, who's a friend of yours, comes over to you, you're sitting at the table, eating ice cream.
Exhausted.
Exhausted, right. And she says, come on, come, the dancing is so nice, come, let's make the bride happy by dancing round. And she like, and you don't want to go, and she pulls you, you know, come on, come on, and you come. And within a few moments, you actually feel that you're in the mood. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, okay. And Michelle, you
yes,
agree.
That's true.
Okay. Okay, so now we can do the same thing with davening. You put yourself into the davening as if your heart was aflame with love of God. And the as if joins together with the words of the davening, and it actually becomes genuinely as if your heart was aflame with love of God. Now, it's a kind of a technique. This is a technique. What do you do when you're not inspired? You behave as if you were inspired. And very often that has the effect of arousing the inspiration. And even if not, it makes what you do more significant and more powerful in a spiritual way and in a tangible way as well.
Does everybody feel that way, that davens and they go to shul and they're davening and they've got to get to work soon? And
do they feel inspired?
Yes.
What about if we did a survey? We had a question there, how do you feel about davening?
Would people be honest?
And we gave it to 100 different people.
Yeah.
And we saw what they said.
What did they say?
Well, we'll have to see. We haven't done this yet.
Would people be honest? You feel that you know, people feel they must.
I mean, the act of davening has definitely got, a reason, and you've to feel a certain way because you're davening. Yes. But to feel that totally inspired, the way you say, how many people that are davening in that? I mean, that changes you. You know, at the beginning of the day,
hello,
if you haven't done it, you've missed out on something. So you need to do it. Yeah, you need to do it.
Okay, that's one aspect of davening.
You need to do it, but that's another thing. You go to shul, you need to do it, you want to
do it. One second. Shalom Aleichem, and there are plenty of chairs.
Are you going away?
Yes.
Got
here's a Tanya. Here's a Tanya. And we're on page 69 to 70. Yeah, that's a Chumash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've seen the sort of davening at the wall. Really fantastic.
Yeah,
I've watched it.
Right.
This is davening every day, before you do everything you go. I get up in the morning, you do it. And you know that if you don't do it, you've missed out on something. So you've got to do it.
You know, that's a very important approach to davening. That you have to do it.
Yes.
But together with that, there go extra levels as well. There go extra levels as well in order to make the davening something which is... you see, it uses the phrase of wings.
You say yourself, you're glad to be alive today. Thank you very much. Because I'm glad to be alive today.
<That's> you sound like someone in a Baal Shem Tov story.
But at the same time, how inspired do people get if they've got to do all the davening?
You can't force yourself. I don't believe in forcing yourself.
I think you can really believe that you're glad to be alive.
Yes,
that day.
You can't force yourself.
It depends what it means, forcing yourself.
What it means that you are really glad.
You know, the
to be
fact
alive
that Hashem has given us this opportunity to say these words What an amazing thing. We're able to come close to Hashem, say these words, most of which are anyway from the Torah, in one part of the Torah or the other. And we're able to say that with our heart to Hashem. That's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing. You could say, if a person didn't achieve anything else the whole day, all they did was daven, they've achieved something immense.
What happens if you can't?
Ah, then you try. You see, what do you mean by can't? You can't say the words, you can't bring yourself to say the words.
No, if you haven't got the will.
Okay, so that's where Hasidic teachings and different aspects of Torah thought are there to help a person get the will. We are of you. There's a saying which was it's said by some group of Polish Hasidim, maybe the Pshischa Hasidim. They said, it's not that I want to serve Hashem, I want to serve Hashem. You know what? I don't even want to serve Hashem. But I want to serve Hashem. And you could have like 100 wants. You know, like you could be way, 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 way off. But you want the next step, the next thing, which eventually would come to wanting to serve Hashem. So we have to do a tiny little step. And then Hashem helps. You know, now that's the bitachon, that's the trust that we have in Hashem. Sometimes we make a tiny step, we even might make what we think is a very big step, and we still fall flat on our faith.
I mean, many people feel like she said, you
haven't got the will.
Yeah, and that's normal. You know, which doesn't mean we're wicked. Just one of those days when, oh dear, dear.
So there you are, you've got what to say.
Yeah.
I'm being normal.
Sometimes you can't. It's just one of those things.
But
eventually you
do. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
You do.
Yeah. Easier said than done.
Yeah, and Michelle's already suggested giving a few penance stocker, like doing a mitzvah in order to help it along.
That's easier sometimes.
You know, there was a certain Rebbe, he wasn't happy just putting a few coins in a charity box. He would look for a way to give someone some food. Now, in a little Russian shtetl, like Lubavitch, you know, like, there might be a poor man or something, and you say, hey, have you had breakfast? Do you want to have a hot cup of tea and some soup or something, you know, and you call the person in, give them some food, gives you a warm feeling, then you're able to daven. Gives you a warm feeling, because you gave someone else.
But then you thank Hashem for giving you the opportunity.
Yes.
I mean, I'm always apologizing to Hashem for not doing the things I should do. I don't know if that's called davening. I seem to be apologizing all the time. Please forgive me. I'm out to do better.
Lovely.
But I wouldn't call that
davening. I think we can all say that.
But davening is...
Could do better. That's what the teacher said. Could do better. On the column at the side. Could do better.
We'll do a lot
that
better.
I agree with. Could do better.
Davening is a strange thing sometimes.
Well, let's... okay, so let's have a look in the actual text. We're on page 6970. And where that is... If you were just looking at the English, then this understanding is clothed in the act, speech, and thought of the Torah and its commandments, providing for them, as it were, intelligence, vitality, and wings wherewith to soar on high. Right, that's in the English on the right-hand side. And if we put that into the Hebrew, it's the word Hare Tvunazu. We're going just a few words high. Hare Tvunazu. Behold, this understanding. Now, that's the idea that you have. The idea is, I don't feel inspired now, but I should feel inspired. And therefore, I'm going to behave as if I were inspired. And then this understanding, mislabeshes, b'maisa divro machsheves hatoido mitzvaseya. This thought, this idea that you've got in your mind, that you're going to behave as if you were inspired, it becomes itself a form of positive energy, lifting up the spiritual actions and thoughts and speech that you're going to do, which might be davening, or it might be learning Torah, it might be doing a mitzvah. But it puts itself in, and it gives it liyos lem b'chinas moichin. It becomes a kind of intelligence. You see, doing a thing just automatically is like without thinking. But if you're conscious and you're excited and you enjoy it and it's meaningful, your mind is there as well. And it's called moichin, it's called mind, intelligence, and it's also called chayas, life force, v'gadfin, and wings. Wings, lefarcha ileya, to soar above. So that the word of davening that you say, I'm using davening as an example, but it could be other things as well. The word of davening that you say soars higher because there's this life force that you're putting in. And what is the life force that you're putting in? It's very interesting. It's not that you got inspired by reading a few paragraphs of Tanya. It's that you felt you should have been inspired. And if you had been inspired, then you would have said the words in this way, and you would have, you would have been excited in this way, and you make yourself as if you were. Now that's a very powerful concept. I once had a pupil in the Lubavitch Girls' School here. She was a sixth former. And I was teaching this chapter of Tanya. And she was very indignant. She said, why weren't we told this before?
What age do you teach Tanya from?
Well, we teach Tanya to little girls as well, but she was a sixth former, I mean she's 15, 16. But younger girls also. There's even a form of Tanya written for children, you know, like an 8-year-old.
That's the sort I need.
So she said, she's a very prominent shlucha now, has achieved together with her husband, thank God, tremendous, tremendous things. But she was indignant. Why haven't we been told this before? Because it's such an important idea that the substitute for being inspired, in case you're not inspired, is behave as if you were inspired. And that's a very, very powerful
concept. If you daven every morning,
yeah,
and do it, because if you feel you don't do it, you've missed out. Is it habit or is it inspiration? What is it?
Well, that's another quality which is called yiratata, the lower fear, and that's the first step in service of Hashem. That's a very important step in service of Hashem. The next step is the lower love. The next step is the higher love, and the next step is the higher fear, which is like awe, which is like a very deep, deep.
If there was a survey, mm-hmm, how many people would say, well, I do it because I've done it all my life and it's a habit now?
I don't know, because you know, when very often when you're davening with a group of people, it's like tangible. The davening is tangible. I believe that there are many people who don't regard themselves as great people or anything like that. Many people that if you put like electrodes on their skin, you would see a definite change taking place in them when they're davening.
That's with a group of people, with yourself?
No, no.
Not with, by yourself?
Well, I can sense it when I'm with other people.
People.
I mean, if there's someone davening by himself, I'm not there. Mm. But you can sense that there is like an energy
with other people.
Which is transforming the person. The chief rabbi, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks,
yeah,
he describes, I think he's written about this, he's sometimes given speeches about it as well. It was his first visit, I think it was his first visit to Crown Heights, to the area of Lubavitch in New York. Mm. And he went to shul, and in the Shabbos morning, and his host spent rather a long time davening, And then they all came home to have the Shabbos lunch. This is like in the early 70s, maybe 60s. And he wrote, this is the first time he saw a person actually having been changed by the process of davening. Mm. Because his host was one thing when they were on the way to shul, and someone else on the way back. Because he'd spent several hours deep in prayer, it had transformed him in some way. And Rabbi Sacks felt sensitive to that. He was able to pick that up. He was able to see that. You know, so there is that power in davening. Now, very often, a person is at home, you open the siddur, you know, you say to yourself, look, I've got to daven to Hashem and thank Hashem for what I'm doing in the world and what He's given me. Thank God I'm able to get out of bed, I'm able to make a cup of tea for myself. Thank God I'm master of myself. And we... Now that is a very profound closeness to Hashem. That's also a very profound closeness to Hashem. You know, so there are people where there's a kind of a really... There are books written about this kind of thing. So there are people where there's a real deep davening. You know, it's really like wings of prayer. And another person who says, well, I must daven, and they daven. This relates to a story that I heard from my wife. It's a story about Pesach. So there was this person who was like, you know, quite a Kabbalist. And he knew all kinds of deep Torah teachings. And he prepared himself for the first Seder. You know, there's the outside Israel, there's two Seder nights. So he prepared himself for the first Seder. He read this book and he read that book and he contemplated this and he contemplated that. And then it came to the Seder. And every single step he had such beautiful ideas in his mind and thinking this and thinking that. And it was also spiritual. It was like soaring through the air. It was absolutely wonderful. And at the end of the Seder, he thought, wow, that was so wonderful. I must try and make sure that tomorrow night Seder, I have the same beautiful experience. So he decided that the Seder tonight finished rather late. So he davened the morning davening, and then he decided that to make sure that he has a really wonderful experience in the Seder with all the right intentions, he's going to go to sleep in the afternoon to prepare himself that he really has a wonderful Seder again. Now, you know, the Seder night has a certain time limitation. You must eat the matzah by midnight. It's a big problem halachically if you don't eat the matzah by midnight. And he didn't have an alarm clock. And he slept, and he slept, and he slept, and he woke up, and it's a quarter to midnight. Oy vey, what happened? Oy, and he quickly rushes and washes his hand. And he's eating the matzah. Anyway, so he just got in time.
Yes.
Just managed in time. Then afterwards, later on, a few days later, he goes to visit his Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, oh, that was such a wonderful Seder night you had. He said, what Rebbe? The first Seder? Nah, the first Seder. The second Seder, that was full of dedicated concern. You want to do the mitzvah. The first Seder, floating on air, on wings, that was nothing. It's the second Seder. So Rini, you're davening with him. You know, you've got to do it.
You think it's all right then?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful. All right. So let's try and go a little bit further. All right.
Somebody there.
Sorry?
Somebody there.
Just one thing that's in effect. I can't hear it, they'll
learn about the
second statement.
Doing it for God's sake, not for your own sake.
So that is the idea that the feeling that you should be inspired. Okay, so this is another step. I mean, so Rina's idea that you do it because you have to, that is a very important thing.
No, I want to, not because I want to. If I didn't do it, I'd feel that I'd missed out on that day somehow. Mm.
Me too.
You know, it's
Kabbalah's oil, isn't it?
It should be.
Well, that's the Kabbalah soul level.
I'm not at the greatest level in the world.
No, but you see, the point is that
it's like your coffee.
I do it because I realise that I'm alive another day.
Right, sure.
And I thank God I am alive, because it wasn't necessary. I can't take anything for granted.
Sure.
You know, and I've seen that plenty of. So, yes, I'm very glad I'm alive and
well, that's a very honest, beautiful doubling. That's a very lovely
doubling. That is honest. That is honest.
I think if we do our survey, there are a lot of people who will envy you for having such a real, life doubling. Very beautiful.
That's how I feel when I would do it.
Absolutely lovely. Okay. However, like, there are different steps, and what Tanya wants us here to achieve is this step of doing what we would do if we were inspired, which is a little bit, you know, like a further step. And so therefore, and so doing it, ki'ilu osik behem b'dechilu rechimu mamash, as if you were doing it with real fear of God and real love of God, asher behiskalus liboy, revealed in your heart. You got the place? Yeah. Revealed in your heart, b'chafetza b'chasheko utzukum ogeshes, with a real felt yearning and longing and love for Hashem, b'liboy v'nafshay, in your heart, and your soul is hatzameya l'Hashem. One's soul is thirsty for God. Because of the flames of fire of love for Hashem which are in our heart, makes it thirsty. Now, there are some people who actually feel like that when they daven, and at the moment you don't feel like that, or someone doesn't feel like that, so we're going to do the davening as if we had that, as if we had that flame of love inside us. Since this idea of doing it as if we were inspired, which is in our mind and hidden in our heart, he hamaviyasu la'asek b'hem, is what's prompting us to daven in this extra way. V'lulei shehoyim isbonim b'tfunu zu, and if we didn't have this idea that we're going to act as if we were inspired, lo'i hoyu oisek b'hem klal, maybe the person wouldn't do this thing at all. He would only be concerned about his bodily needs. And even if he actually learns a lot anyway, by nature, he loves his body more by nature. So by the fact of the person thinking to himself they're going to act as if they were inspired, means they learn a little bit more, they daven a little bit more, or a little bit with extra life force, a little bit extra energy, because you're saying to yourself, if I were inspired, then I would be doing this, this, and this, and you do that little bit extra. Now, there is this is a very, very interesting idea, and the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, finds a source for this concept in the Talmud. And this is where it is. He points to a place. V'zeh romzu razal. This is what the sages hinted at. Ba'omrum, when they said, machshava toiva hakadosh baruch hu matzarfu lemaisa. A good thought. Now this is a saying in the Talmud. A good thought, Hashem joins it to the action. Now what does that mean? A good thought, Hashem joins it to the action. Often when people come across that phrase in the Talmud, they think it means that the fact that you had a good thought counts as if you did the action. You know, like you wanted to, you wanted someone, unfortunately, is in hospital, you wanted to visit the person in hospital, And you go along to the hospital, and thank God they're already home. So you miss the opportunity. So a person might say, well, a good thought is joined to the action. It's as if you visited them in hospital. In fact, you went all the way. But you might. There are other things where there's the question of the thought and the action. Now, if that's what it means, which people very popularly think that it means that, it should have said, not that a good thought is joined to action, it should have said, a good thought, God considers it as if you actually did it. That would be the popular way of understanding this phrase. You had a good thought, well, it's as if you really did it. But Rabbi Shneur Zalman says, no, this phrase actually means something else. It means what I've been telling you on the lines above. Eila inyan, the subject is this matter, as follows. The fear and the love of God revealed in one's heart. They are what are enclosed in the action of the mitzvahs. To give life to the mitzvahs. So that they soar upwards. Because the heart itself is also physical, like the other limbs of the body, which are the vessels with which we do things. But the heart is more inward, and the heart is like the life force for everything else in the body. Over the pain, and therefore the heart and the feelings of the heart are able to be enclosed in the other actions that the person does. To be wings to raise up the other things that one is doing. Now that's when you really do feel enthusiastic, you're really excited, it's real flames of love burning in your heart, and you say to Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you say it with such love, and you should love Hashem with all your heart. You really feel it. That's because there's this burning love inside you, elevating your words. Ach, now that's the revealed love. But what about the hidden love? But the fear and love which are hidden in one's mind, hidden in one's heart, hanal, which we spoke about before, they are very, very exalted. This feeling that you can't quite get is actually very exalted. That's why you don't get it. That's why you don't feel it. This is a wonderful way of looking at it. The reason why you don't feel inspired is because your feelings are on a very, very high plane. And it's beyond mibchinas hamaisa. It's beyond your actions. And so therefore this exalted feeling, which doesn't have the power of a revealed sense of love and joyfulness, it's not so revealed, it's hard for it to be enclosed in the action of the mitzvahs, or the davening, that it should be the intelligence, the life force, the spirit, to lift the mak and to fly upwards, unless God joins this thought to one's actions. And they are called the good thought. So therefore, what Rabbi Shneur Zalman is telling us is that this idea of thinking, I don't feel inspired now, but I'm going to act as if I were inspired, that thought enables a sense of inspiration, which is really hidden. It's virtual. You know, that's a good word for it in our time. It's a virtual inspiration. It's not a felt inspiration. It's virtual. It's like an imagined inspiration. But Hashem, in His mercy, joins the virtual inspiration to the real words of the davening and to our real life. And He gives us that extra chayas. Okay, so we'll continue this next week, Netz Hashem, but this is basically what it's saying here in chapter 6.
All about prayer.
Well, it's prayer or any other activity. It's all about inspiration and not being inspired, and how you can create an atmosphere as if you were inspired, and how Hashem in His love to us will join that to our actions so that it becomes as if we are inspired.
What about when one has a burning love for Hashem, very strong and burning? What I call doing when you go round in a circle, you know, what is it called when you, that exercise we do? I used to feel like that when I walked out of here, when I first came to the Lubavitch. You know, I wanted to do turns.
Somersault.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Because I'd never heard such learning. Never had teaching like that before, and it really did my brain in. It was fantastic. But I can feel like that for Hashem and don't know how to get it out. Can't really get it out.
You mean you feel this tremendous love and excitement and you don't know how to express it? Do you know, on Simchas Torah night, where there was lovely dancing here, I'm not sure if any of you were actually here, but it was very, very beautiful dancing late at night. At the end of the whole dancing, Rabbi Lou, who just came in, did a somersault. He was
and
so excited.
I understand that very much. I used to want to do that down the road when I used to leave here.
You're drunk.
Because I'd never...
No.
After 4 years of reform, good word, I'd learnt nothing for 4 years, and I came here. And I was amazed. But when you get that feeling for Hashem, that, you know, a cartwheel feeling, burning love and passion. There's no words to I can't find words. I don't know what to say. I don't say anything. I just say, you know, gosh, I don't know.
Sometimes one might say a chapter of Tehillim, or, you know, just the joyfulness.
Yes.
Is itself a reality.
It can leave you, really exhausted.
And the thing is to use that in good deeds that you're coming to the rest of the day and the next day. One of the powers that we have. See, you can be so excited that you want to do a somersault and a cartwheel. And the next day, you don't feel quite like that. But you can remember. And that's bounces back at you, you know, and it gives you that life force again.
I can still remember the way I used to leave here when I first started, and I used to go home and I couldn't believe what I'd heard, and I really wanted to do somersaults all the way to the bus stop.
I mean, personally, it's true, really. I can't say that I want to do that.
I did feel it, like,
but I do get a sense of being content. I don't say brilliantly happy that I want to jump over the moon, but have a contented feeling, which is quite nice. And I would say that when you learn, you get a more contented feeling, which I think is
a happy feeling, and you feel
contented.
Secure.
I never say I don't know about happy. Happy is a secure minute thing. You're happy the minute, and but it can't last. It's euphoria. It's
it
wouldn't be normal.
You?
Then you come down with a bang, and you end up with a depression. But I think a contented feeling is something that is there, and it will see you through whatever.
Very, very
that
beautiful.
Happens.
Thank you. It says in the Talmud, the rabbi said, Mikol melamdai hiskalti, from all my teachers I have learned, umitalmidai yoisei mikulam, but more than anyone I have learned from the people I try to teach, I learn from them.
Yes.
I think contentedness is quite I mean, we all get moments of happiness, some really lovely thing.
It's
been a wedding, it's or a bar mitzvah or something, or you've won the premium bonds maybe. But it doesn't last, but contented does last.
Connecting to your neshama.
Well, that's the difference between love like flames of fire and love which flows like water. The love like flames and fire can burn up but then burn down.
Yes.
The love which flows like water is always there.
Yes. I'm always a bit suspect of too much euphoria, and then it's like a drug, and then you flip out of that. That's not right.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But being contented, say, well, it's not, you know, whatever your lot is, that's it.
I would call it, I feel sometimes very secure in the knowledge of Hashem.
It is.
Very secure.
Yeah.
That's nice. Perhaps that's what it is. Perhaps being contented. Do you think so, Inga?
Yeah, I think
you think contented is a nice feeling?
Yeah.
I think so as well.